You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research Disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Stephen Halmerich, our Chief Economist. Stephen, good to have you on.
Thanks, Belinda. Great to be here.
Now, it's the third Tuesday of the month, which means one thing, the release of the CBA Household Spending Intentions series. Now, this release is for January, which was really quite an interesting month for the Australian economy. We did have some outbreaks of COVID-19, but largely the economic recovery seems to be well underway at the moment. What were your overall impressions of the HSI that month?
Well, as you say, the recovery does seem to be well underway, and that was, again, shown in the household spending intentions for January. So we had really strong gains in home buying spending intentions, also entertainment and education, which was good to see increases in both those categories. Travel and health and fitness were both up, and retail and motor vehicle spending intentions kind of flat on the month. So nothing was down. We either had strong gains or flat.
So it seems at this stage we haven't seen any major impact from those short, sharp lockdowns that we've seen in some parts of the economy in recent months, and particularly home buying. We've seen a lot of news out in recent times about the lift in home prices, the lift in lending as well. If we delve into the home buying reading in particular, what are you seeing?
Well, that's right. As you say, the home buying spending intentions have been really strong and they're up again in January. And so it's a combination of people searching for housing, but also increases in home loan applications. And we've seen that really consistently through 2020 and at the start of this year. And so low interest rates are really the key factor here. You know, very low mortgage rates, you know, mortgage rates that probably none of us have seen in our lifetime before, and that's really driving the improvement in home buying spending intentions.
If we turn our attention to other, I guess, more discretionary parts of consumer spending, so travel and entertainment in particular, it looks like they're on the improve, very similar to what we're seeing in terms of the consumer sentiment reading. So just last week we did get another strong consumer sentiment reading. It's just below the 10-year high that we reached in December. Do you think that's helping to explain the lift in readings we're seeing in those sorts of more discretionary parts of consumer spending?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, travel spending intentions were, you know, really weak when through COVID, not surprisingly, but that's recovered quite nicely now, and travel spending intentions are back up into positive territory, you know, just, but they're back up there. And when you look at the details, not surprisingly, things like, you know, camper and recreation vehicles, motorhomes and rentals of trailers and things like that are up really quite strongly. There's still weakness in things like airlines and cruise ships, but overall you can see Australians, you know, holidaying at home and really getting their camping equipment and things like that to do so. Similarly with entertainment, you know, back up into positive territory for the first time since COVID started, and you can see an increase in, you know, drinking and eating on-premise. Things like cafes and restaurants are really picking up as well. So I think that just really does gel with the improvement in consumer confidence. People are, you know, much more confident that we've got good control of the virus, despite some, you know, breakouts here and there in some of the capital cities. But overall, things are looking quite good.
Now, we have seen, as I said at the start, some short, sharp lockdowns take place in Australia in recent months. If anywhere it looks to have impacted, it's maybe the retail spending intentions. What's happening in that category?
Yeah, I think that's right. Retail spending intentions were really strong towards the end of last year. But in both December 2020 and January 2021, when we had those outbreaks and some, if you like, you know, short, sharp lockdowns in Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, retail spending has really been sideways in the last 2 months. So I think that's where we're seeing the impact of these lockdowns.
So if we start to turn our attention to the outlook for 2021, we're obviously on the optimistic side. We have been for or recent months, and that's really in line with some of the internal data that we've been seeing, the CBA weekly credit and debit card spending, the reductions we're seeing in the number of bank accounts getting paid, JobSeeker. How do you feel the economic recovery is tracking kind of as we almost enter the third month of the year?
Well, as you say, we have been on the more optimistic side of growth expectations for the last 6 months or so, and that's certainly been the right place to be. You know, growth expectations have exceeded the base case of the Reserve Bank, and we're expecting GDP growth this year of 4.2%, and that's higher than the Reserve Bank's forecast. And if you look at things like, as you're talking about, consumer confidence is high, and we think that means that consumers will be willing to spend some of the money they saved through last year. So by our estimates, consumers saved about $125 billion through last year. That's over and above what they normally would do. That's about 6% of GDP, so it's a huge savings buffer to be deployed. And we think that will help the economy transition from the government support, so JobKeeper coming to an end at the end of March. And we think that big savings pool will help the economy transition through that period. And then you add things like we've talked about, home buying is strong. Domestic travel is strong. One thing we haven't mentioned yet, public sector infrastructure spending. So states are spending quite a lot of money on public sector infrastructure, which will add a lot to growth this year and in the years to come. So if you add all those things up, the growth outlook does look pretty good for 2021.
And with that, we should see a further fall in the unemployment rate. So on our estimates, we have the unemployment rate down to 5.7% at the end of 2021 and then down to 5% at the end of 2022. And on that, we do actually get a reading for the labour market out this week, and we do expect a further fall in the unemployment rate coming into fruition. When we talk about the risks, though, you have a lot of people start to consider the impact of the end of JobKeeper and the reduction in the JobSeeker as well, which is due to come into place at the end of March. What's the risk from that, and what are the risks that are certainly on the horizon?
Well, as you say, so in the end of JobKeeper is a key event for end of March. As I mentioned, we think the big savings pool that consumers have squirreled away will help the economy transition through that period. But no doubt, it's going to be a little bit difficult, a little bit bumpy. I wouldn't be surprised to see a month or two of some weaker employment numbers, but we think we'll be able to push through that. As you mentioned, the labour market has been quite strong. So that's been good to see. The government has yet to give us the details of what they will do on a permanent basis with the so-called coronavirus supplement for JobSeeker. There is, expectations that the coronavirus supplement in some form will remain for a while. Maybe we'll have to wait to the budget in May for some more detail on that as well. But I think the economy is in pretty good shape to transition away from income being provided largely by the government to income being provided largely by employment.
And on that, we also have still very significant monetary policy support from the Reserve Bank of Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. The Reserve Bank has made it crystal clear that the cash rate is going to remain down at 0.1% for a number of years to come. That's at 2024 at the earliest. And they've announced a second round of the so-called quantitative easing program. So they're buying another $100 billion of government bonds for the 6 months after April. So that's following the first round of $100 billion. So that's $200 billion worth of bond purchases from the Reserve Bank over the 12-month period. And that will keep bond yields at the longer end of the curve lower than they otherwise would have been. And that's helpful for all Australians trying to borrow money.
Stephen, it's been great to get your insights.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Now, you can read Stephen Halmerich's Household Spending Intentions Report for January 2021, which was published on the 16th of February on combankresearch.com.au. And the data used in the Commonwealth Bank Household Spending Intentions series is a combination of CBA data and publicly available Google Trends data. Where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement.